I talked with the Lord many nights by my bedside. I asked His forgiveness as I knelt to pray. And if I could repay, I'd be only too willing. For He died on the cross just to save me from sin. There's a light guiding me. I can see heaven's glory. And He holds me steadfast. And His wind is love. Is guiding me through temptations and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. To the far distant shore, many friends have gone from me. They're singing the victory of God's love I know. Through the valley of death, I'll be led by Jesus. He will carry me through, though I'm weak and low. There's a light guiding me. I can see heaven's glory. And He holds me steadfast. And His way and His love is guiding me through temptations and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. When that great day comes and I see heaven's glory, I know that my soul will be free from all care. They'll open the gates and bid me enter. When the road's all up yonder, I know I'll be there. There's a light guiding me. I can see heaven's glory. And He holds me steadfast. And His way and His love is guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. To the far distant shore, many friends have gone from me. They're singing the victory of God's love I know. Through the valley of death, I'll be led by Jesus. He will carry me through, though I'm weak and low. There's a light guiding me. I can see heaven's glory. And He holds me steadfast. And His way and His love is guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. There's a light guiding me. I can see heaven's glory. And He holds me steadfast. And His way and His love is guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. Upon the mountains they followed the Lord for days. Weak from the hunger, He would not send them away. A little boy had some fishes and a few loaves of bread. But how could so many with just so little be fed? He held it toward heaven with hands that had not yet been nailed. He watched him with wonder, but surely this time he would fail. But as he reached it to them, they could see it down deep in his eyes. They could always trust Jesus, for he had an endless supply. He just keeps giving and giving till their hunger was satisfied. He started with so little, but oh, how the Lord multiplied. And when he was finished, the want was removed from their eyes. They could always trust Jesus, for he has an endless supply. I feel him so often, sometimes I grow faint in my heart. He's been so faithful, he's always done more than his part.
He never leaves me, though I've often
strayed from his side. I'll always trust Jesus, for he has an endless supply. He just keeps giving and giving till my hunger is satisfied. He started with so little, but oh how the Lord multiplies. And when he is finished, the want is removed from my eyes. I'll always trust Jesus, for he has an endless supply. I feel him so often, sometimes I grow faint in my heart. He's been so faithful, he always does more than his part. He never leaves me, though I've often strayed from his side. I'll always trust Jesus, for he has an endless supply. He just keeps giving and giving till my hunger is satisfied. He started with so little, but oh how the Lord multiplies. And when he is finished, the want is removed from my eyes. I'll always trust Jesus, for he has an endless supply. And he just keeps giving and giving till my hunger is satisfied. He started with so little, but oh how the Lord multiplies. And when he is finished, the want is removed from my eyes. I'll always trust Jesus, for he has an endless supply. He started with so little. 2 o'clock in the morning. It took him only 10 seconds. Same, I'm coming soon. Same, I'm coming soon. That's when it all started, the journey. I told you before, I lost interest in the things of this world. It became a fleeting fancy. And now, look what we got now. Then he put me on this journey. I had to lose it all. Went up against these religious, that religious devil, really. And from there on it went. But that's what started me on this journey. 2 o'clock at night. Same, I'm coming soon. And then, like I say, I was ejected into a different dimension. And time went on. I had to be terminated from that system. But it started all back there, and look what we got now. Now then, went journeying and led me to the ministry of Brother Branham, the only thing that matters in the church here, the Laodicea. But it had a starting point, you know. Mm-hmm. And yeah, sure, I'm on the long journey. I fail him so often. There's times I get faint in my heart, but he never gives up, you know. As long as you yield a little bit from time to time, he'll take you places you've never been before, and just let him lead and guide you by spirit. And then, lo and behold, he told me to pick you up, because I was all wore out when he told me to pick you up. I was tired of fighting by myself. Just when he thought you had somebody, he'd stab you in the back, you know what I'm saying? And then he moved us on, and now he get us to get this website up and going, and now it's going into all over the world, and just started with just a little 10-second conversation that he had with my spirit. And now we're going all over the world. It's multiplied, you know. That's why I say he just keeps giving and giving.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we'll just stay faithful to the end, and then he'll give us eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
As you travel down life's road, He is with you every day. With every step that you take, He walks ahead of you. And every night as you lay down, angels are camping all around. You'll never be alone, for He is in the midst. He's in the midst of our storm. He's in the valley we walk through. Where two or three are gathered in His name, He'll be there too. When you feel so all alone, He'll be standing next to you. He's with us now. Our Lord is in the midst. In the prison they were thrown, Paul and Silas weren't alone. They knew that God was there and He would see them through. As the walls began to shake and their chains just fell away, they cried, "Behold our God, for He's in the midst. He's in the midst of our storm. He's in the valley we walk through. Where two or three are gathered in His name, He'll be there too. When you feel so all alone, He'll be standing next to you. He's with us now. Our Lord is in the midst. As you travel down life's road, He is with you every day. With every step you take, He walks ahead of you. And every night as you lay down, angels are camping all around. You'll never be alone, for He is in the midst. He's in the midst of our storm. He's in the valley we walk through. Where two or three are gathered in His name, He'll be there too. When you feel so all alone, He'll be standing next to you. He's with us now. Our Lord is in the midst. I keep coming back to the well of grace. Great is the power, sweet is the taste. Whenever temptations and trials I face, I keep coming back to the well. Oh, I keep coming back to the well of grace. Great is the power, sweet is the taste. Whenever temptations and trials I face, I keep coming back to the well. Oh, I keep coming back to the well of grace. Great is the power, sweet is its taste. Whenever temptations and trials I face, I keep coming back to the well. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Unto the uttermost, He's so wonderful and glorious. Oh, what a Savior is mine. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. So wonderful and glorious. Oh, what a Savior is mine.
Genesis 6, chapter 3. We'll read that scripture that you read yesterday. There's something in there. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. Da sprach der Herr, die Menschen wollen sich von meinem Geist nicht mehr strafen lassen, denn sie sind Fleisch. Ich will ihnen Nachfrist geben, 120 Jahre. And that's Genesis 6, verse 3. So the Lord said, my spirit will not remain in humankind indefinitely. Since they are mortal, they will remain for 120 years. Adam, he was of the earth. There's two forces here at work, the spirit man and the flesh man. And see, when the spirit of God keeps you from entering into the flesh man, you know, that's why you have to walk in the spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So these two entities, they were fighting. And the sons of Seth, they were the capacity was living in their makeup. Because they were of the earth, you know. Mm-hmm. But as long as the Spirit of God was able to lead and guide them, then everything was good. They were living down in the land of Eden. They had it made, and it's the same thing here today. As long as you and I walk in the Spirit, we don't have a problem. But as soon as we stop walking in the Spirit, then the flesh takes over, and he'll take you into the gutter. So far, you won't even know you're even in there. What I got out of when you read that yesterday, he mentioned, well, it's like for mine and geistig mehr strafen. See, they don't want to be led there. There's strafen, I mean, they don't want to be punished because.
Directed.
They don't want to be directed by the Holy Spirit, because when you're directed by the Holy Spirit, this war starts. The flesh and the spirit start warring against each other, and whoever you yield to, then you got it made. If you yield to the Spirit of the living God, then everything is hunky-dory. Everything mm-hmm. goes good. We're trying our little bit to be led by the Spirit of the living God. That's why I don't like to brag. I don't like to keep mentioning it. That's why when we're led by the Spirit, who do you think is waking us up in the morning? Who do you think leads us to get up at 5 in the morning? It's the Spirit of the living God. That same Spirit that led the children back the sons of Seth, you know, they were having a great old time. They had no problem until that filth down from Nod came down these women, and then they became flesh. It just switched over overnight, and all of a sudden they just working, living after the flesh, after sex and all that filth that was down in Nod, all that came down, and Satan knows when to show up. He knows where you're weak, and he knows when to show up, and then he just and gulls you with all his filth and all his garbage. That's what you see out there. And today, you know, with that religious, phony religion, that so-called love thing, and then every kind of perversion and pollution is out there that the Satan throws at the human race. And as long as you and I keep walking in the Spirit, then he has no inlet there. There's no inlet for him. But you got to be at the ball. You got to be sober. You got to be vigilant. And you got to do what you got to do to kind of keep them at bay, you know, keep them away from you. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we just want to give you thanks for this another day of life, for the many things you do for us, Lord. Give you thanks mostly for putting us on this journey. And ever since then, Lord, you've ejected us into a dimension, Lord. We didn't even know that it existed, Lord, but we give you thanks that you've given us the grace to be able to pull it through, to stand up against the corruption against that these spirits and that outright church. You allowed us to see what kind of spirit is driving that thing, and you brought us together, Lord, and now we're on this journey together. You've done so much for us, Lord. We just want to never stop giving you thanks for that journey that you put us on. Like Paul said, oh, that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. That's how we got to know you, Lord, and we never want to stop giving you thanks that you took time out to put us on this journey and to allow us to walk with you and to work for you, Lord. We just never want to stop giving you thanks for it, Lord. We just pray for those people that are listening in, Lord, that you'd open up this word to you just like you opened up to us, Lord. We have a few diehards that are just so faithful, they can't wait till they can listen in the morning. And we just pray for them, Lord, that let it not be a waste of their time, but open up your word to them, that they'll find that glorious journey to that heavenly kingdom that, like, give it to us to see. And we just pray you'll just continue to anoint them, inspire them, and give them a desire to for heavenly things, Lord. And just pray you just continue to do it as you see fit. Use us for your honor and for your glory, because that's the only joy we find in life, is to do your will, Lord. We just pray continue to gift that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm. And that's what I saw when you read that thing yesterday. That mm-hmm. that thing is still ongoing, you know, as long yeah. as the children down in the land of Eden, the sons of Seth, you can read it, and the sons of Seth, and Seth had another son, and then when the sons of Seth, then the sons of Seth began to call on the name of the mm-hmm. Lord. That's the only thing they did down in the land of Eden. They didn't get involved in that filth and that sex and all that junk. They were led by the Spirit of the Living God, and the Spirit of the Living God, they told them who to marry and who not to marry, because over on the end product camp, it's the men, they didn't want to be led by a spirit anymore, and they took unto them wives, all of whom they chose. Mm-hmm. But up until that thrill came down from now, the Spirit of the Living God directed and led them to their mate, and everything was hunky-dory down in the land of Eden. But they, like I say, it wasn't until that filth came down from now, then they started mingling, and then at the end of the day, God had to destroy that whole human race, because it was just pure flesh. And here's the same thing, judgment is looming on the rise, because mankind has become callous and become dead, and they're not sober anymore, and they're being taken over by all these forces that we're surrounded with, just exactly like Paul said in the last day, it'll be a terrible time, it's coming, perilous times are here, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, perverting of the scriptures, everything is out there. We're right in it. It's not coming. We're in it. All this spiritual, mostly spiritual pollution, mm-hmm. spiritual perversion mm-hmm. is out there. That especially at these Hutterite colleges, they think this lovey-dovey thing is of God. It's not of God. It's a spirit of deception, because behind that lovey-dovey thing is the spirit of deception. It leads you out to hell and death, and they don't even know, because it looks so good. It looks mm-hmm. so, but it's so deceptive. At the end of the day, what they do, they just give you this lovey-dovey thing, and there is no correction in that thing. There's no...
That's right.
That's what it is.
Uh-huh. Like you were reading here, like, about Adam, like, when that happened in the Garden of Eden, where men fell, they made a choice to partake of that law of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's the trend that the first Adam took us on. And when you will read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45, it kind of breaks it down between the natural and the spiritual. So it says in verse 45, "So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living person. The last Adam became life-giving spirit." That's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. "However, the spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and then the spiritual." Mm-hmm. First there was Adam, and then there was Jesus. "The first man is from the earth." So God took him from the earth, and he made him from the earth, and he made it of dust. That's what God made men from, the natural, from the dust of the earth. Mm-hmm. "The second man is from heaven." See, mm-hmm. that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The second man did not come from the earth. It was from heaven. That's why he's called his only begotten son. He was born out of from a virgin birth. "Like the one made of dust, so too are those made of dust. And like the one from heaven, so too those who are heavenly." So that you can either follow the one natural one out of mm-hmm. the dust, or you can follow the one that's made from heaven, mm-hmm. then do heavenly things. And just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, let us also bear the image of the man of heaven. Mm-hmm. And that's why when you are born in this world, you are a sinner. You are from the dust of the earth. And then when the Lord Jesus Christ saves you and you become born again, you can walk and bear that image of the man of heaven and walk in the Spirit, and then you will not fulfill all the lust of that natural man's attributes. You will follow the attributes of the spiritual man.
That's why when the Lord put us on this journey, like I was saying, and then I had a choice to make. You know, you want to follow the Spirit. You want to get up. You have to get up in the morning to pray. That's one of the things that the Lord dealt with me back in 1971 when he saved me. He moved on me to wake up, to get up in the morning and pray at the end of the day, because you can absolutely not make it. And of course, I feel himself. There's times I go faint in my heart. But he just keeps going. He never gives up on you. You can only yield to him and allow him to lead and guide you and to all truth. And he will lead you and guide you and to places you've never been before. If you like excitement, like you and I, we like excitement. We like something that's worth fighting for. And we got it and he gave it to us. Now the only battle we have now is to battle against that carnal thing, that piece of garbage that we drag out of bed every morning. And the sooner you can get up and open the day with prayer and with singing. See, these songs that we sing in the morning, they're just a prayer. They're just continuing to praise God and to ask for help throughout the day. If you think about it, if you just sing them just for the sake of singing, you really don't get none out of it. But you have to meditate on them and really think about them. But see, the only battle we really have is the natural man. That's the enemy number one. And of course, you got the devil out there throwing a curveball every chance he gets, and he'll try to get hold of everything and everybody that he can get a hold of. Your family and those closest to you. That's why Jesus said, those of your own household will be your biggest enemy. You see, your family, they don't intentionally throw you a curveball or set a trap for you, but behind it is the spirit of the devil, because he knows that you care about your family, so what does he do? He uses them to kind of derail you, you know what I'm trying to say, because usually it's your family that people, they give in to you because of peer pressure and all that, and then that's what Jesus said. Those of your own household will be your biggest foes. But you can't go around hating them. You just recognize them as long as you're sober and vigilant. And then you know where the enemy is. And he's going to use your family, your wife, your children. Those that are close to your heart. And he's going to use them to try to derail you. We've seen it time and time again. But see, you and I, we have purpose in our heart. We want to follow Jesus. We want to make it to that heavenly kingdom. Mm-hmm. We want to do what the Lord wants us to do. We want to walk in the Spirit. And there's times where we don't always 100% do it, but shaking dust off. And like I say, we feel them soft. There's times I go faint in my heart. But you dust yourself off, and every day is a new day. Some days you get up, you don't even know where you're coming or going. It's such a darkness out there. But then the next day, if you keep fasting throughout the day, that's another key issue. If you kind of crucify the flesh, then the spirit man takes over, and then when you, especially if you fast, if you don't get indulged in eating meat and all kinds of steaks and having a drink before you eat and all that stuff, see, that kind of a lifestyle that we used to live, that's in the rear view mirror. We try our level best to just eat one meal a day, even sometimes not even that. There's time once a week we won't eat nothing for a couple of days many times. And sometimes, like the other day, you fasted for 40 days. It's not that easy. But see, what you're doing, you're crucifying the flesh, and then when you crucify the flesh, the spirit man takes over. Just like it was back when these sons of Seth, they called on the name of the Lord. They were led by the Spirit. But as time went on and it deteriorated, and Satan in the background was watching now, so what does he do? He sends these girls down from the land of these daughters of Cain, and he sent them down, and all that was going on up in the land of Nod was filth and sex. There was nothing up there that was godly. And that's exactly what the devil does. And the natural man, there is absolutely nothing godly in that person. Mm-hmm. That's why we gotta get up in the morning. That's why we gotta pray in the day. That's why we gotta do what we gotta do. That's why we gotta fast to keep the spirit man alive. Because in this day and hour that we're now living in, if you me, if you don't put everything, every effort in you can, you're gonna be taken out to hell and death. Because the natural man, that's the only place he could take you. There's nothing in the natural man that has any value. That's why we keep humiliating that sucker. Because we're not ashamed of what we stand for. Because we know where the natural man will take us to. There's nothing good about the natural man. That's why Paul said you gotta mortify, you gotta crucify. Let's just be honest, you know, there's nothing in the natural affairs, piece of garbage that we're living in that has any values. And people that dress them up and they pretend they're this holy guy, they're they're this important person, they're this Nimrod, everybody wants to be important, and they use whatever they can get their hands on to make themselves, to try to do like exactly like candy, try to bring please God with some preaching like that. Dave Waller, that preacher Dave down, I think, is dead now. But he wanted the desire and the passion to someday be a minister, someday be a preacher. And then he wanted a radio minister. I heard him say it. He said, we went out for a walk one day, that's what he told me. That's his desire in life, is to be a preacher. Started up his radio ministry like Oral Roberts and all these big guns out there, these big preachers. That's his ambition in life. And instead of going to the Lord, Lord, what do you want for me? What do you want me to do? And I know him. I've spent a lot of time with him. But see, that's the natural man. That's the natural man. That's nothing but wood, hay, and stubble. And it has no eternal value. Then when he comes over the other side, then he's got nothing to show for himself throughout eternity. Mm-hmm. Because he has done his thing. And that's what I was always afraid of. And for some reason or another, when the Lord saved me, I realized I can't do nothing on my own. Because I was brought up in a religious home. And we had to go to church every day, and sometimes when you go to church every day, sometimes you're going to pick up something. And then I started reading the Bible, and I picked up some things in the Bible that had been a benefit, and I knew there is nothing good in the man. And I began to, when the Lord saved me back in 1971, I just began to pray, just something that I did. I said, Lord, use me for your glory. Lord, help me find my place in Christ, because I began to realize we lost our place in Christ. And we come into we're born into this world as a sinner, and we come into this speaking life. So we have no compass or nothing. And I begin to pray, Lord, help me find my place in Christ, because I knew enough to know that the only satisfaction is to do the Lord's will. And that's what I began to pray for. And now the Lord has, 40, 50 years later, after taking all my ideas and all my ambitions, finally we come to a place exactly where the Lord created us to do this very thing that he created us to do, because he knew in the end time there is going to be such a forces of evil trying to hide the fact that God sent this prophet. And that's our ambition. That's our mission. That's our job description, is to hold up these two ministers that preached their heart out for 40 years. And now society, when you listen to the church world out there, there is not one whiff of Brother Branham or Brother Jackson. It's completely hid. And here the Lord has raised us up. That's our job description. That's what I've always prayed for. Lord, help me find my place in Christ. And that's exactly what we're doing now. Now that we come to the age of maturity and finally we found our place in Christ. And our job description is simply to expose the unfruitful works of darkness, to tell people where we are in time, and to hold up these two great men that preached their heart out for 80 years. They preached, and Brother Brennan preached for 40 years, and then Brother Jackson preached for 40 years, and then here, everybody's trying to destroy what these two great men brought, and we're the only two people that are holding up the banner. And that's the job description we have, to make sure that there is something out there where people can come to and give that exactly what Jesus said in the book of Revelation, the church age of Laodicea, I counsel of thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. And that is the ministry of Brother Brennan and Brother Jackson. But you won't hear this, what you were here saying, what we're saying. You won't hear out in the religious media. In fact, they'll do everything they can to shut it down and to try to make it irrelevant. Oh, he believes in that stupid prophet and all that stuff. But see, we've given a commission, and we're doing it gladly. That, like I said, there's no greater joy than to do the will of the Father, because that's the only thing that you can find in the Scripture that brings you joy, and to lift up Jesus Christ. It's never about us, because there is nothing in us to lift it up. It's all about Jesus, and that's what you're going to find out. And we're not ashamed to say the things we're saying. God, that's where the joy is. That's where the flesh is. That's where joy unspeakable, full of glory. But there's times, you know, and the flesh takes over, and then you begin to deteriorate. And then the spirit man takes over, then and we got the hallelujah time. That's just the way it works.
That's right. That's why it says in Ephesians 5, verse 14, that is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." And that's why you need to really walk in the Spirit. See, when you will go back to Adam and Eve, and then you come to in the days of afterwards, how men they didn't want to be corrected anymore, but wanted to just do what is pleasing to the flesh. And then they decided they're just going to take whoever they want as wives. And then the whole picture became corrupted. And you can see it, what happened there too in Balaam, when Balak hired Balaam to go come and curse Israel. And God did not allow him to curse him, but then Balaam gave him some advice how to break down their resistance. If you intermarry with these Moabites, and the Moabites were full of filth, false gods, and that weakened the Israelites' resistance, and that's how the devil came in. And that's the same way with here in our time. When you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You'll walk in the ways that is pleasing to God, and that's why it says, be careful to walk as wise, not as the unwise, because the devil, he knows the human makeup, and he knows how to weaken you, he knows how to get you. That's why you need to really put in an effort, and if you don't, he's going to wear down your resistance, and in the end, you're going to fall. And that's what he's waiting for, and that's what he wants. But if you walk in the Spirit and put in every effort to walk in that manner, then the devil can't get in. But if you let your guard down, the devil comes in. It's just a balance, right? If you do things for the Spirit man has the upper hand. If you don't, if you just continue to sleep and be lazy, the devil takes over, and he knows how to get a human. He's watched the human, because he really infiltrated the human man in the Garden of Eden. So now he has access, because of that natural man that we are. But if you walk in that heavenly, like we read in Romans, that heavenly man, then you will not fall for the things that Satan has entrapped.
Early in the morning, we get up and we pray and we sing and all these things, and then we have a conversation, and then we go out to meet the day, you know, and then if it starts with, like, if I allow myself the flesh to take over, guess where I would go? As soon as we're done here, 9 o'clock, I'd go down to Chicken Shavin and have myself a big breakfast, you know, bacon and eggs and all that. Anything that'll cater to the flesh. But I gotta fight, I gotta dodge these bullets that the flesh wants to throw at you. So what do we do? Instead of going down for breakfast, what we do, many times I don't eat nothing till about 2-3 in the afternoon. And then I just have myself a bowl of buckwheat or some beans. Something that not making you glutton, you know. Not, I don't I don't go out and have a steak every day, though I could afford it. But see, that's catering to the flesh. And then a lot of people, what they do, they have a drink, and then they go have a steak. And see, we could afford to do all these things, but we got to fight that chapter. We got to fight because behind it is the spirit of Satan to slowly lull to you to sleep and take over the flesh. And before you know it, that's all he left for us, for food. And that's the enemy number one. And I don't know when we had the last time we had 2-3 meals a day. We just have maybe 1 meal a day, and then many times we don't have nothing. But see, we got to always be on guard. There's times I'll go out and have a steak or have a meat, but very rare, maybe once a month or maybe twice a month. But see, it's all catered to the flesh. That's what I'm trying to say. That's the thing that you have to watch. The natural man, he'll, oh, see, if he can't take you out to hell and death. That's why we get up early in the morning. That's why we do. That's why we try our level best to walk in the spirit. And that's why we keep our limbs all trimmed and burning. Keep your limbs all trimmed and burning for the bridegroom. What should we? Because we're living in this hour of time where Jesus warned us about. That's why we have to do whatever that's why we do what we're doing. We're doing it for ourselves. But people, they could follow us. They could take an example from us if they want to. But we're doing it for ourselves, for our own salvation, and if you do your part, God will do his part on your children. Because he said, I keep repeating it over and over again, because I read it one day over in Hosea, where God was so disgusted with the children of Israel that Hosea was preaching his heart out for years, and then Hosea came at it one day, because you have rejected what God has been trying to tell you people all along, and because you have rejected what God was trying to say through Hosea. Hosea came out one day, because you have rejected knowledge, you have rejected the message for your day, I will also reject you, that you will be no more priest before me, and that I will forget your children. And if you walk in the flesh, believe you me, God will forget your children. But if you walk in the spirit, God will remember your children, and he's going to have an expected end for you. Because, like I keep saying over and over again, the only thing that you can do for your children is to walk in the spirit, to do whatever the Lord wants you to do. Because there is absolutely nothing that you can do for your children. You can't protect them. You can't do nothing for their salvation. But if you and I, we walk in the Spirit and we do everything that we can to satisfy the Lord, then he's going to do the rest. He's the only one that can look after your children. You can try, but you'll never make that, especially in the day and hour we're living in. We sometimes watch a movie and we see what happens to these children, how they're being raped and abused. But if the parents haven't done their part, and the devil can come in and they can have... He could take your children out to left field, because if God forgets your children, believe you me, the devil is right there to take them out to left field. And you don't even know what's happening. And we see all this heartache, all the pain and suffering that's out there, because the parents have not done their part. If everybody does their part, then the Lord will do his part, and then some.
Yeah, that's right. It says, take every opportunity, because the days are evil. And when those evil days come, the darkness comes on this earth, then at least you have, when you were younger and all your life you've sought for that righteousness and done what is right in the eyes of God. And when those evil days come, that you actually will be able to walk. And a lot of people... Oh, they haven't done anything. And then when those days come, they don't know how to handle them. And they just, there's no purpose for them. But we've sought all our lives to do what is pleasing to God and to follow his ways, so that when those days are here now, where we are living in now, that we have actually something that we have done in our lives.
Yeah, we ran into this guy yesterday, the Hutterite, and actually my cousin, and I didn't recognize him because he's changed quite a bit from last time I seen him. I seen him about 3 years ago, and I had to ask who he is. Yeah, he recognized me right away, but see, he claims to be a Christian. He's a Hutterite Christian. Yeah, you're like my brother. That in the colony, everybody's a Christian. But that's not the way it works. And I could tell that his face was shiny. You know, when a guy drinks quite a bit and lives high in the hog and the steaks and the whiskey and all that, his face, his expression, his face, you could tell he was just having a drink and things like that. But see, if you're walking in the spirit, you don't have that. And he claims to be a Christian. And he brags about how much of a Christian he is. And yeah, I said, you're a Hutterite Christian. You're just like my brother. And they're calling everybody's a Christian. You got that same attitude. But I said, it doesn't work that way. And, you know what I'm saying? That's that Hutterite, that lovey-dovey stuff. Mm-hmm. That's infiltrated the Hutterite church. Don't think the devil was sitting back there and watching and letting these Hutterites become Christian. He's sitting back in the background waiting where he can pounce with that false religion, that false baptism. And he's been doing it for years. And he's taking these Hutterites out to hell and death, and they don't even know it. That's they think they're going to glory. They think they're going... They're going to a good place, but they're not. And all we're doing, we're trying to warn them, we're trying to wake them up, and we're trying to give them a shock, because they're so steeped in religion and believe that thing there that Hutterite living in a commune is the way to heaven, but it's not. And here we come along and we're trying to tell them exactly the way it is, that these people are going out to hell and death, and they don't even know it. And if you let it happen, if you come and walk in the flesh, and you will walk in the spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's all that Hutterite thing is about. It's just built on flesh, on the natural man. You talk about something spiritual with them, and what do? They'll do exactly what the devil is all about. They'll excommunicate you. They'll turn you out, and they'll shun you, and they'll do whatever, because that natural man does not like that spirit man. That's what we're doing. We're living in the spirit. And this message that we have, it's not for everybody. Not everybody will be able to digest it, but we have purpose in our heart. We'll do our level best to try to keep our head above the water, keep our spiritual sanity, and do whatever the Lord wants us to do.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you. We had a conversation here, and we just pray, Lord, that you'll... that it'll speak in the hearts of people, Lord, that they'll want to have a desire, Lord, to walk in your ways and to walk in a way that's pleasing to you. We just want to give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.